Escuelas Oficiales de Idiomas de Andalucía. Comprensión oral. Inglés. Nivel intermedio B2. Tarea 1. Dispone de 2 minutos para leer las instrucciones y el contenido de la tarea.
So I have 10 basic rules. I'm going to walk you through all of them. But honestly, if you just choose one of them and master it, you're already going to enjoy better conversations. Number one, don't multitask. And I don't mean just set down your cell phone or your tablet or your car keys or whatever's in your hand. I mean, be present. Be in that moment. Don't be thinking about your argument you have with your boss. Don't be thinking about what you're going to have for dinner. If you want to get out of the conversation, get out of the conversation. But don't be half in it and half out of it. Number two, don't pontificate. If you wanted to state your opinion without any opportunity for response or argument or pushback or growth, write a blog. Number three, use open-ended questions. In this case, take a cue from journalists. Start your questions with who, what, where, when, why, or how. If you put in a complicated question, you're going to get a simple answer out. If I ask you, were you terrified? You're going to respond to the most powerful word in that sentence, which is terrified. And the answer is, yes, I was, or no, I wasn't. Were you angry? Yes, I was very angry. Let them describe it. They're the ones that know. Try asking them things like, what was that like? How did that feel? Because then they might have to stop for a moment and think about it. And you're going to get a much more interesting response. Number four, go with the flow. That means thoughts will come into your mind and you need to let them go out of your mind. We've heard interviews often in which a guest is talking for several minutes and then the host comes back in and asks a question which seems like it comes out of nowhere or it's already been answered. That means the host probably stopped listening 2 minutes ago because he thought of this really clever question and he was just bound and determined to say that. And we do the exact same thing. We're sitting there having a conversation with someone, and then we remember that time that we met Hugh Jackman in a coffee shop. And we stop listening. Stories and ideas are going to come to you. You need to let them come and let them go. Number five, if you don't know, say that you don't know. Now, people on the radio, especially on NPR, are much more aware that they're going on the record. And so they're more careful about what they claim to be an expert in and what they claim to know for sure. Do that. Err on the side of caution. Talk should not be cheap. Number six, don't equate your experience with theirs. If they're talking about having lost a family member, don't start talking about the time that you lost a family member. If they're talking about the trouble that they're having at work, don't tell them about how much you hate your job. It's not the same. It is never the same. All experiences are individual. And more importantly, it is not about you. You don't need to take that moment to prove how amazing you are or how much you've suffered. Somebody asked Stephen Hawking once what his IQ was, and he says, "I have no idea. People who brag about their IQs are losers." Conversations are not a promotional opportunity. Number seven, try not to repeat yourself. It's condescending and it's really boring. And we tend to do it a lot, especially in work conversations or in conversations with our kids. We have a point to make, so we just keep rephrasing it over and over. Don't do that. Number eight, stay out of the weeds. Frankly, people don't care about the years, the names, the dates, all those details that you're struggling to come up with in your mind. They don't care. What they care about is you. They care about what you're like, what you have in common. So forget the details. Leave them out. Number nine, listen. I cannot tell you how many really important people have said that listening is perhaps the number one most important skill that you could develop. Why do we not listen to each other? Number one, we'd rather talk. When I'm talking, I'm in control. I don't have to hear anything I'm not interested in. I'm the center of attention. I can bolster my own identity. But there's another reason. We get distracted. The average person talks at about 225 words per minute, but we can listen at up to 500 words per minute. So our minds are filling in those other 275 words. And look, I know it takes effort and energy to actually pay attention to someone. But if you can't do that, you're not in a conversation. You're just two people shouting out barely related sentences in the same place. We listen with the intent to reply. One more rule, and number 10, and it's this one. Be brief.
Dispone ahora de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas. Escuche de nuevo la grabación.
So I have 10 basic rules. I'm going to walk you through all of them. But honestly, if you just choose one of them and master it, you're already going to enjoy better conversations. Number one, don't multitask. And I don't mean just set down your cell phone or your tablet or your car keys or whatever's in your hand. I mean, be present. Be in that moment. Don't be thinking about your argument you had with your boss. Don't be thinking about what you're going to have for dinner. If you want to get out of the conversation, get out of the conversation. But don't be half in it and half out of it. Number two, don't pontificate. If you want to just state your opinion without any opportunity for response or argument or pushback or growth, write a blog. Number three, use open-ended questions. In this case, take a cue from journalists. Start your questions with who, what, where, when, why, or how. If you put in a complicated question, you're going to get a simple answer out. If I ask you, were you terrified? You're going to respond to the most powerful word in that sentence, which is terrified. And the answer is, yes, I was, or no, I wasn't. Were you angry? Yes, I was very angry. Let them describe it. They're the ones that know. Try asking them things like, what was that like? How did that feel? Because then they might have to stop for a moment and think about it. and you're going to get a much more interesting response. Number four, go with the flow. That means thoughts will come into your mind, and you need to let them go out of your mind. We've heard interviews often in which a guest is talking for several minutes, and then the host comes back in and asks a question which seems like it comes out of nowhere, or it's already been answered. That means the host probably stopped listening 2 minutes ago because he thought of this really clever question, and he was just bound and determined to say that. And we do the exact same thing. We're sitting there having a conversation with someone, and then we remember that time that we met Hugh Jackman in a coffee shop. And we stop listening. Stories and ideas are going to come to you. You need to let them come and let them go. Number five, if you don't know, say that you don't know. Now, people on the radio, especially on NPR, are much more aware that they're going on the record. And so they're more careful about what they claim to be an expert in and what they claim to know for sure. Do that. Err on the side of caution. Talk should not be cheap. Number six, don't equate your experience with theirs. If they're talking about having lost a family member, don't start talking about the time that you lost a family member. If they're talking about the trouble that they're having at work, don't tell them about how much you hate your job. It's not the same. It is never the same. All experiences are individual. And more importantly, it is not about you. You don't need to take that moment to prove how amazing you are or how much you've suffered. Somebody asked Stephen Hawking once what his IQ was, and he says, I have no idea. People who brag about their IQs are losers. Conversations are not a promotional opportunity. Number seven, try not to repeat yourself. It's condescending, and it's really boring. And we tend to do it a lot, especially in work conversations or in conversations with our kids. We have a point to make, so we just keep rephrasing it over and over. Don't do that. Number eight, stay out of the weeds. Frankly, people don't care about the years, the names, the dates, all those details that you're struggling to come up with in your mind. They don't care. What they care about is you. They care about what you're like, what you have in common. So forget the details. Leave them out. Number nine, listen. I cannot tell you how many really important people have said that listening is perhaps the number one most important skill that you could develop. Why do we not listen to each other? Number one, we'd rather talk. When I'm talking, I'm in control. I don't have to hear anything I'm not interested in. I'm the center of attention. I can bolster my own identity. But there's another reason. We get distracted. The average person talks at about 225 words per minute, but we can listen at up to 500 words per minute. So our minds are filling in those other 275 words. And look, I know it takes effort and energy to actually pay attention to someone. But if you can't do that, you're not in a conversation. You're just two people shouting out barely related sentences in the same place. We listen with the intent to reply. One more rule, and number 10, and it's this one. Be brief.
Dispone ahora de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas. Escuche de nuevo la grabación.
So I have 10 basic rules. I'm going to walk you through all of them. But honestly, if you just choose one of them and master it, you're already going to enjoy better conversations. Number one, don't multitask. And I don't mean just set down your cell phone or your tablet or your car keys or whatever's in your hand. I mean, be present. Be in that moment. Don't be thinking about your argument you have with your boss. Don't be thinking about what you're going to have for dinner. If you want to get out of the conversation, get out of the conversation. But don't be half in it and half out of it. Number two, don't pontificate. If you want to just state your opinion without any opportunity for response or argument or pushback or growth, write a blog. Number three, use open-ended questions. In this case, take a cue from journalists. Start your questions with who, what, where, when, why, or how. If you put in a complicated question, you're going to get a simple answer out. If I ask you, were you terrified? You're going to respond to the most powerful word in that sentence, which is terrified. And the answer is, yes, I was, or no, I wasn't. Were you angry? Yes, I was very angry. Let them describe it. They're the ones that know. Try asking them things like, what was that like? How did that feel? Because then they might have to stop for a moment and think about it. And you're going to get a much more interesting response. Number four, go with the flow. That means thoughts will come into your mind and you need to let them go out of your mind. We've heard interviews often in which a guest is talking for several minutes and then the host comes back in and asks a question which seems like it comes out of nowhere or it's already been answered. That means the host probably stopped listening 2 minutes ago because he thought of this really clever question and he was just bound and determined to say that. And we do the exact same thing. We're sitting there having a conversation with someone and then we remember that time that we met Hugh Jackman in a coffee shop. And we stop listening. Stories and ideas are going to come to you. You need to let them come and let them go. Number five, if you don't know, say that you don't know. Now, people on the radio, especially on NPR, are much more aware that they're going on the record. And so they're more careful about what they claim to be an expert in and what they claim to know for sure. Do that. Err on the side of caution. Talk should not be cheap. Number six, don't equate your experience with theirs. If they're talking about having lost a family member, don't start talking about the time that you lost a family member. If they're talking about the trouble that they're having at work, don't tell them about how much you hate your job. It's not the same. It is never the same. All experiences are individual. And more importantly, it is not about you. You don't need to take that moment to prove how amazing you are or how much you've suffered. Somebody asked Stephen Hawking once what his IQ was, and he says, I have no idea. People who brag about their IQs are losers. Conversations are not a promotional opportunity. Number seven, try not to repeat yourself. It's condescending, and it's really boring. And we tend to do it a lot, especially in work conversations or in conversations with our kids. We have a point to make, so we just keep rephrasing it over and over. Don't do that. Number eight, stay out of the weeds. Frankly, people don't care about the years, the names, the dates, all those details that you're struggling to come up with in your mind. They don't care. What they care about is you. They care about what you're like, what you have in common. So forget the details. Leave them out. Number nine, listen. I cannot tell you how many really important people have said that listening is perhaps the number one most important skill that you could develop. Why do we not listen to each other? Number one, we'd rather talk. When I'm talking, I'm in control. I don't have to hear anything I'm not interested in. I'm the center of attention. I can bolster my own identity. But there's another reason. We get distracted. The average person talks at about 225 words per minute, but we can listen at up to 500 words per minute. So our minds are filling in those other 275 words. And look, I know it takes effort and energy to actually pay attention to someone. But if you can't do that, you're not in a conversation. You're just two people shouting out barely related sentences in the same place. We listen with the intent to reply. One more rule, and number 10, and it's this one. Be brief.
Dispone ahora de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas. Este es el final de la tarea 1. Tarea 2. Dispone de 2 minutos para leer las instrucciones y el contenido de la tarea.
Extract 1.
The African Union has described obscene comments reportedly made by President Trump about African countries as clearly racist. An AU spokeswoman, Ebe Colando, said the tone of the alleged remarks was especially hurtful given the number of Africans who were taken to the United States as slaves. The organization has demanded an apology from Mr. Trump and a retraction of the comments. Mr. Trump has denied using derogatory language.
Extract 2.
At least 15 people have been injured in Honduras in clashes between the security forces and people protesting about the re-election of the president, Juan Orlando Hernandez. Police used tear gas and water cannon to disperse demonstrators in the capital, Tegucigalpa.
Extract 3.
More than 1,200 rescue workers in Southern California are trying to find 5 people who are still missing after a deadly mudslide hit the small town of Montecito on Tuesday. 18 people are now known to have died in the mudslides.
Extract 4.
A British four-man team has broken the world record for rowing across the Atlantic Ocean, completing nearly 5,000 kilometres in 29 days. The four friends have just ended the Atlantic Challenge by rowing into English Bay Antigua, 6 days faster than the previous world record for a four-man crew. Victoria Fritz has the details.
Up until 18 months ago, none of the men had ever held an oar. They're now in the record books. They were among 28 crews who left the Canary Islands for Antigua 30 days. Departing from the port, they were braving the seas on their own. Gale force winds delayed the start. Race organisers call the event the most dramatic they've seen in recent history. The British team led from the off, fighting fatigue, 40-foot waves, and at times shoals of flying fish. The crew had just one goal in mind, to make as much money as possible for charity.
Extract 5.
Lost sections of a film made in the 1920s by the British actor Stan Laurel have been discovered in a Dutch archive. The footage, discovered in the Frisian Film Archive, is thought to be the only full copy of the film entitled Detained in the world. Anna Holligan has more details.
The rediscovered scene shows the silent movie star playing a prisoner who ends up in the gallows. Dressed in black and white stripes, he spins precariously on the noose, his neck stretching like rubber, eventually allowing him to exact a typically absurd escape. This early experiment with special effects ended up on the cutting room floor. It was only after an archivist, Jurjen Enzing, began stock-taking old nitrate films, he recognised Stan Laurel and decided to investigate.
Anna Holligan reporting. World News from the BBC.
Dispone ahora de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas. Escuche de nuevo la grabación.
Extract 1.
The African Union has described obscene comments reportedly made by President Trump about African countries as clearly racist. An AU spokeswoman, Ebe Colando, said the tone of the alleged remarks was especially hurtful given the number of Africans who were taken to the United States as slaves. The organisation has demanded an apology from Mr. Trump and a retraction of the comments. Mr. Trump has denied using derogatory language.
Extract 2.
At least 15 people have been injured in Honduras in clashes between the security forces and people protesting about the re-election of the president, Juan Orlando Hernandez. Police used tear gas and water cannon to disperse demonstrators in the capital, Tegucigalpa.
Extract 3.
More than 1,200 rescue workers in Southern California are trying to find five people who are still missing after a deadly mudslide hit the small town of Montecito on Tuesday. 18 people are now known to have died in the mudslides.
Extract 4.
A British four-man team has broken the world record for rowing across the Atlantic Ocean, completing nearly 5,000 kilometres in 29 days. The four friends have just ended the Atlantic Challenge by rowing into English Bay Antigua, 6 days faster than the previous world record for a four-man crew. Victoria Fritz has the details.
Up until 18 months ago, none of the men had ever held an oar. They're now in the record books. They were among 28 crews who left the Canary Islands for Antigua 30 days. Departing from the port, they were braving the seas on their own. Gale force winds delayed the start. Race organisers call the event the most dramatic they've seen in recent history. The British team led from the off, fighting fatigue, 40-foot waves, and at times shoals of flying fish. The crew had just one goal in mind, to make as much money as possible for charity.
Extract 5.
Lost sections of a film made in the 1920s by the British actor Stan Laurel have been discovered in a Dutch archive. The footage, discovered in the Frisian Film Archive, is thought to be the only full copy of the film entitled Detained in the world. Anna Holligan has more details.
The rediscovered scene shows the silent movie star playing a prisoner who ends up in the gallows. Dressed in black and white stripes, he spins precariously on the noose, his neck stretching like rubber, eventually allowing him to exact a typically absurd escape. This early experiment with special effects ended up on the cutting room floor. It was only after an archivist, Jurjen Enzing, began stock-taking old nitrate films, he recognised Stan Laurel and decided to investigate.
Anna Holligan reporting. World News from the BBC.
Dispone ahora de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas. Escuche de nuevo la grabación.
Extract 1.
The African Union has described obscene comments reportedly made by President Trump about African countries as clearly racist. An AU spokeswoman, Ebe Colando, said the tone of the alleged remarks was especially hurtful given the number of Africans who were taken to the United States as slaves. The organisation has demanded an apology from Mr. Trump and a retraction of the comments. Mr. Trump has denied using derogatory language.
Extract 2.
At least 15 people have been injured in Honduras in clashes between the security forces and people protesting about the re-election of the president, Juan Orlando Hernandez. Police used tear gas and water cannon to disperse demonstrators in the capital, Tegucigalpa.
Extract 3.
More than 1,200 rescue workers in Southern California are trying to find five people who are still missing after a deadly mudslide hit the small town of Montecito on Tuesday. 18 people are now known to have died in the mudslides.
Extract 4.
A British four-man team has broken the world record for rowing across the Atlantic Ocean, completing nearly 5,000 kilometres in 29 days. The four friends have just ended the Atlantic Challenge by rowing into English Bay, Antigua, 6 days faster than the previous world record for a four-man crew. Victoria Fritz has the details.
Up until 18 months ago, none of the men had ever held an oar. They're now in the record books. They were among 28 crews who left the Canary Islands for Antigua 30 days. Departing from the port, they were braving the seas on their own. Gale force winds delayed the start. Race organisers call the event the most dramatic they've seen in recent history. The British team led from the off, fighting fatigue, 40-foot waves, and at times shoals of flying fish. The crew had just one goal in mind, to make as much money as possible for charity.
Extract 5.
Lost sections of a film made in the 1920s by the British actor Stan Laurel have been discovered in a Dutch archive. The footage, discovered in the Frisian Film Archive, is thought to be the only full copy of the film entitled Detained in the world. Anna Holligan has more details.
The rediscovered scene shows the silent movie star playing a prisoner who ends up in the gallows. Dressed in black and white stripes, he spins precariously on the noose, his neck stretching like rubber, eventually allowing him to exact a typically absurd escape. This early experiment with special effects ended up on the cutting room floor. It was only after an archivist, Jurjen Enzing, began stock-taking old nitrate films, he recognised Stan Laurel and decided to investigate.
Anna Holligan reporting. World News from the BBC.
Dispone ahora de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas. Este es el final de la tarea 2. Aquí acaba la prueba de comprensión oral. Por favor, siga las instrucciones del profesorado en su aula.